first weekend of the 2013 college football season is now complete. Well, almost. One more game to go. Florida State and Pittsburgh tonight between two ACC teams on Labor Day night. Happy Labor Day. I'm Jacob Bunn. Welcome into the program here on BunnSports.com. We will recap each and every SEC game as well as tell you about a number of other top 25 games on the show today, and I'll give you my thoughts on what happened over the weekend. But the story of the weekend, well, there were several stories, but of course the one that has been illuminating most of the college football headlines is number 8 Clemson beating number 5 Georgia 38-35 in what was a thrilling matchup Saturday night. Sammy Watkins, Taj Boyd, the Clemson offense put on a show. Todd Gurley still ran for 145 yards himself in Georgia's effort 154 yards, pardon me, in Georgia's effort, but they were still unable to knock off Clemson in Death Valley. Dabo Swinney's team has now beaten a top 10 SEC team twice in a row. And he was quite jubilant about that after the game. But Georgia was able to win. Aaron Murray with a pretty decent day. He did throw a costly interception, but I thought he completed over about 70% of his passes. But he still cannot win that big game. And that is what the knock on him is going to be going forward. Aaron Murray has had chance after chance, whether it's the Alabama game last year, other games that he's been involved in that have been monumental. Well, this one was big, and he wasn't able to get it done once again against Clemson on the road. Other games that took place this weekend, number 1, Alabama with no problem with Virginia Tech, right? 35-10. Well, if you saw that score and didn't read anything about the game, you would probably think that the Tide just steamrolled another team. But in actuality, it was special teams and defense that won the day for the Tide. And, oh yeah, Christian Jones, the wide receiver, who became the first Alabama player to return a kickoff punt for a touchdown, and he all caught a receiving touchdown in the game. That's the first time that's done in Alabama history. It's also the first time it's been done in college football since 2002, I believe. But Alabama did have some struggles. The offense did not play well. The offensive line was perplexing at best if you were an Alabama fan Saturday afternoon as Virginia Tech continued to get penetration. But it was a very good Virginia Tech defense. They're playing against Bud Foster, always brings a very good game plan to each and every contest. But you knew, I figured Alabama was not going to win that one easily. When you lose as much as Alabama lost on the offensive line, it's going to be very interesting to see how Alabama plays going forward this year, replacing what they had to replace. You have two sophomores, two juniors, and a senior now, and you certainly don't have the draft NFL draft stock that they had last year as they played in the and then won the national championship. So we'll see where Alabama goes as the season progresses. Johnny Manziel did not escape the center of attention. He came into the game against Rice, Texas A&M's game against Rice. They won the game 52-31. There was never an issue. Game was never in doubt. But Johnny Manziel came back into the game. His numbers were very good in the game, I thought. He completed 6 of 8 passes for quite a few yards and 3 touchdowns. But the problem for Johnny Manziel, he got a 15-yard unsportsmanlike conduct penalty and was yanked from the game. And it wasn't just that. He was talking to the chirping, as Kevin Sumlin would say, to the Rice players throughout the entire game. At one point, it looked like he signed an autograph in the air. At another point, it looked like he did the money gesture. You know what I'm talking about, when the fingers are rubbed together. Johnny Manziel, for whatever reason, seems to have the need to be the center of attention at all times. And that was never more evident in the second half of the Rice game. Now, Kevin Sumlin pulled him from the game and said afterwards that he was not going back in the game no matter what. But when you're ahead of Rice by 3.5 touchdowns, what does it matter whether you take Johnny Manziel out or not? And where's the discipline from Texas A&M? Or is this train getting too far down the tracks to the point now where there's no going back? There's no retroactive discipline at this point. Other top 25 scores, Ohio State beat Buffalo 20-40. You know, Urban Meyer went for 2 on the first 2 touchdowns he scored in this game. Very interesting. I really don't know the reason for that. If he just had, it's been a while since he destroyed a team by epic proportions, and he wanted to try to go for that Saturday or what? But he tried to go for two for the first time. He was successful the first two times going for two. But they do have a place kicker in Columbus. I do know that. Oregon beat Nicholls State 66-3. As we mentioned, the Georgia game. Florida beat Toledo 24-6. I thought Florida played well. I thought running back Mack Brown was a bright spot for the Gators. They did have some passing game, and this is against a team. Now, again, it's a Mack team. I understand that, but it's against a team that some think will challenge, if not win, the Mack this year. So Toledo is definitely a worthy competition in that regard. Not SEC, but they're not a chump change either. LSU with a 37-27 win over TCU. And I tell you, I was impressed with LSU Saturday night. I know that they gave some things away late, made the game a little bit more interesting than it probably should have been. But I thought the LSU defense, which everybody has been saying and predicting, I say everybody, many of the pundits have been touting as the weak point this year for LSU. I thought the defense played very well. I thought Zach Mettenberger played very well. I thought LSU as a team showed a lot of promise. 448 yards on TCU's defense. TCU had the top defense in the Big 12 last year. Mettenberger was 16 of 32 for 251 yards and a touchdown. But again, LSU played well in all facets of the game. The running backs played well. Alfred Blue. Jeremy Hill did not play. I thought that was another positive thing. And Les Miles, after the game, when asked by Holly Rowe, when will we see Jeremy Hill, he said he likes Jeremy Hill very much. And you know, he will be a contributor for LSU very soon, which I think is exactly what he should have said. There's no reason in putting a date on it at this point, and I think the longer that LSU sits Jeremy Hill out, the better. And I believe LSU, let's see, who are they playing this week? They play UAB at home, so you know, I don't think they'll really need Jeremy Hill this week either. Oklahoma State beat Mississippi State 21-3. Yet again, Dan Mullen, his team opens the season, well, yet again, they lose an embarrassing non-conference game. They open the season with, and I did not expect Mississippi State to win this game. I really didn't. I thought Oklahoma State had the better team. But the problem for me was Mississippi State's offense. It was anemic at best. They were outrushed by 175 yards. This is one of the Dan Mullen, he's supposed to be the author of the spread at Florida, one of the offensive quote unquote geniuses in the SEC. They converted 2 out of 16 times on third down. Pathetic numbers by Mississippi State in a very embarrassing loss where they put up 3 points against an Oklahoma State defense that probably won't be in the top. Definitely not in the top 25 at the end of the year. This is an SEC team here, and I understand this is a game that I did not expect the SEC to win. But it's an embarrassment to lose 21-3 with the terrible offensive output that Ole Miss had, or Mississippi State had, Saturday afternoon against Oklahoma State. So we will see where it goes from here, but I think the seat is growing warmer and warmer on Mr. Mullen in Starkville. And they have Auburn in a couple of weeks. And if you would have asked me 1 week ago today, I would have told you Mississippi State will win that game against Auburn. It's in Auburn. Did you ask me today? And I'm not so sure. In fact, I would even tend to lean toward Auburn. Speaking of Auburn, they were able to earn a 31-24 victory over Washington State. And I thought Auburn played well offensively. I know that Nick Marshall wasn't as spectacular as a lot of Auburn fans were hoping he would be, but it's game one. Give him some time. This, of course, it's not a great Washington State defense he was playing, but I still think Washington State played a better football game, much better football game than the team they were last year. They look like they have improved a lot as well. Auburn, obviously, to say they've improved would be an understatement. I mean, last year going 3-9 and even being more of a disaster than the record indicated. But so far, opening up with promising signs as Gus Malzahn gets off to a 1-0 start in SEC play. Running back Corey Grant had a great game. Defensive back Robinson Therese played well for Auburn as well. So a good game for Auburn. We'll see where they go from here. They have Arkansas State this week, and I mentioned Mississippi State in a couple of weeks. That'll be the true test of where this Auburn team is if they lose the game. If it's a close game, competitive game, okay. But Auburn will have a big test against Mississippi State in a couple of weeks. Notre Dame beat Temple 28-6. Texas ran New Mexico State out of the building 56-7. You know, they were actually trailing that game later on in the first half. Oklahoma 34-0 over Louisiana Monroe. Michigan 59-9 over Central Michigan. Nebraska, number 8, 37-34 over Wyoming. Why is it that Nebraska always seems to struggle with these opening games against lesser opponents? Wyoming, 37-34, a 3-point victory. This is a team I have going to the Big Ten championship game. But Bo Pelini is trying, it looks like, to underwhelm everybody once again. 3-point victory over Wyoming. We'll see if that's an aberration or if they're going to continue that trend later in the year. Washington with a 38-6 win over Boise State. And it doesn't look like Boise is the same team they were this year, but you have to be impressed with Washington and what they've shown. I don't think they will challenge for the Pac-12 North, but they'll be in a bowl game with that kind of a team if they continue keep that up later in the year. UCLA 58-20 over Nevada. California dropped one at home to Northwestern. I really thought Cal could win that game, but they didn't. Number 22, Northwestern, 44-30 over Cal. Wisconsin, 45-0 over Massachusetts. Yeah, and Sunday, Louisville beat Ohio with Teddy Bridgewater throwing 5 touchdowns. They beat Ohio 49-7. And the upset of the week, number 25, Oregon State, loses at home to Eastern Washington. Remember Mike Leach, who, by the way, just got beat by the team that finished last in the SEC last year, Auburn? Remember Mike Leach saying in the offseason that the SEC isn't very deep? And his league, the Pac-12, was actually deeper? Well, how about this for depth, Mike? Eastern Washington knocks off a ranked Pac-12 team, Oregon State. And you know what? Bill Snyder in Kansas State, they are the happiest people right now that Eastern Washington won that game because they were beaten by North Dakota State Friday night. But now, this is the new headline in terms of embarrassing losses, and Kansas State has been eliminated from the front page. But way to go there for Mike Riley and the Oregon State Beavers. Another absolutely embarrassing game for Larry Scott and the Pac-12, and we'll see what they say next year about the depth of the SEC. Other SEC games, as you know, Thursday night, South Carolina beat North Carolina 27-10. Also, Ole Miss beat Vanderbilt 39-35. Arkansas with a nice showing, and I understand it was against the University of Louisiana, which formerly Louisiana Lafayette. They win that game 34-14, but a nice showing nonetheless. Looks like it's going to be ground and pound ball control type football in Arkansas this year. Kentucky lost 35-26 to Western Kentucky. Remember when Bobby Petrino was a quote-unquote candidate for the Kentucky job? Well, they might wish they had him right now because Mark Stoops, the Kentucky coach, beaten by Bob Stoops, the Western Kentucky coach, both in their first year by 9 points. But a big win for Bobby Petrino, and apparently he can still coach regardless of all of his off-the-field issues. And finally, Missouri, 58-14 winners over Murray State in a very under-impressive game there to begin the season. Now, you know, I thought, as I wrote, you can find my column at buntsports.com. The surprise of the week, I thought Florida running back Mack Brown, it was tremendous for the Gators. That's another dimension that they need, and his running ability will allow Driscoll to be able to make plays down the field. Disappointment of the week, of course, is Mississippi State's offense. I don't know if anything in the SEC was near as bad as it was Saturday. Again, only 2 of 16 from third down. And, of course, the performance of the week, Alabama wide receiver Christian Jones, who became the first Alabama player to record a punt return, kickoff return for touchdowns, and, of course, a receiving touchdown. But we will look ahead at next week's game with the college football professor. That'll be on Wednesday. More on the Friday show as well as we head into the second week of college football season. But we're off and rolling in 2013. I'm Jacob Bunn. Hope you're having a great Labor Day. We'll see you on Wednesday.